We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It is Tech Talk here at News Talk 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart, Steve Thompson. By the way, if you're having computer problems, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to get a hold of us here on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug, how you been?
Oh, absolutely wonderful, Steve. Getting along just fine. How about yourself? You had a vacation. How'd that go?
Well, I don't know if it was a vacation, but we had to head for South Dakota and visit some family last weekend, and it went well. We had kind of an impromptu reunion on my wife's side, and things went pretty well.
Well, that's nice. Well, you know, that's the thing. I think that you need to take some time off, Stevie. That's I know you're hard at it all the time.
Yeah, and Doug, one of the things that we did do indeed is set aside the computers that day. No computer time. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's good for you. A lot of people don't do that, you know. They'll go on vacation and take their computer and work the whole weekend or whole 2 weeks, and it just doesn't make sense. Just from time to time, you just got to unwind.
And by the way, if you want to be a part of the program, by all means, get a hold of us, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. And Doug, let's go to that text line right out of the gate. What do you think of Dell Support Assist? It notified me that I backed up my documents without asking first. Apparently, it backed them up to a hidden file on my computer. I'd like to delete that file in order to free up storage space. What should I do?
Yeah, you know, the thing is with this Dell Assist, if your computer is under warranty, you should go ahead and just leave it on, but I like it toned down a little bit. I don't like something from outside my computer just willy-nilly doing things automatic. I want to know about it first, and I want more control, and I think that that's what this individual is getting at, and I agree. Once this thing's out of warranty, I take all that stuff off. I suggest people do it with all Dells. Unless you got an ongoing relationship with them, it just doesn't make sense to give them the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. And it isn't that I don't trust Dell. It's just, it's more a matter of good business on the individual's part, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is unusual, Doug. I haven't heard that being available. But one of the things we do bring up on the program all the time is the idea of automatic backups. And that is a good thing, automatically backing up your computer.
Oh, no question about it. But my issue with that is the fact that most people only take it partway. If you're going to set something like that up, let's test it a couple of times. You know, once, even after 3-4 months of running, make sure that it's actually going to produce what you expect it to produce. Are you able to get it all your files? Can you restore the entire picture as per date, or is it going to do the whole operating system? People get into this and they don't realize that unless it works perfect, they're going to be hiring somebody to undo that data. Whereas the way you do it, through the via email, or you save it under Google Drive or your cloud account at Apple, that's a full copy. That, to me, that's much, much safer and much, much smarter. Plus, if you've got a copy on a hard drive that you save locally at your house, and then you got another one up in the clouds, that really should suffice. But make sure that you really can restore your backup. People just don't test it, and I think it's necessary to test.
Tech Talk is underway, and by the way, the number is 651-461-9226. It is the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Steve Thompson in today. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Doug Swinhart alongside. If you Want to talk? You're having problems with your computer, hardware, or software, whatever, feel free to call the program. We've been on for a few weeks. We are back today, typically Saturdays between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting, here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. Doug, you talked about backup strategies. And once again, some people say, well, you know, I put it on an external hard drive and it's sitting on the counter here, and that should be fine. I've never felt comfortable with really important things just having one copy of that, particularly things that can't be recreated, like photos. If you do have some videos, et cetera, you really do need multiple backups of that stuff.
I could not agree more. And I think a bare minimum is you've got your working copy on your hard drive. You should actually have another copy on your hard drive just because disk space is cheap today. Then have an external storage of some type. A hard drive is probably your best bet. They're also dirt cheap today. Now that gives you three copies. And if you have another one up in the cloud, maybe even two up in the cloud. Because once you got that thing set, you can just do a full copy of from one cloud account to another and walk away. It takes you seconds. There's really no reason in the world why people don't have multiple copies and of everything that's important. I don't believe in saving the entire operating system and all your configuration files. All that stuff's in a state of flux every time you turn on your computer. So that's going to be changing by the minute. I just don't see it that be that important. And the big thing is, too, is don't get involved with something that where your every keystroke is being backed up in the cloud. That will suck up your internet and bring your system to a complete crawl faster than anything. So know your computer. Know your processes. I really like to see people run these things manual for a couple weeks until they're absolutely certain that they know what the processes are, then start syncing it up to different devices and that kind of thing. Pretty soon you got it, so it's just down pat and takes seconds. I still like your idea with the important documents of sending it to a second email account. I love that.
Yeah, and I've done that for a long time. If it's a clear subject line and you date that, You put what the doc is or what the photo is, and I've got a Gmail and I've got an old Yahoo account that I still use quite a bit that I just attach it, send an email to the other account, and then it's in my sent and it's in my inbox and the other one, and boom, just like that, I have two copies. Now we brought it up. I don't think it's a good idea to do it for everything, but really important things, images or things that you really have to have, I'll do that. And it's a system that's worked really well for me, because even if I'm not, for whatever reason, able to reach my Gmail or get into my Yahoo account, I can very likely get into the other. The odds that I wouldn't be able to access both are pretty slim.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And you know, the thing is that I like things with computers that are relatively simple. If you keep it simple, it just flows. It's like testing hardware. You're building a new computer, and I don't remember the last time I actually had a bad motherboard, but I'll guarantee you the time that you don't take the time to test it when you're putting it together, that's the one that'll be bad. And it's the same thing with backups. If you got them, you'll probably never need them. If you don't have them, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
It's just life and Murphy and computers and digital world. It's mind-boggling how that works, but always better to have it than not need it than to need it not have it.
Doug from our Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line today. Can you recommend a free program to work with and save PDF documents? I have Windows 10 right now, but what do you use to work with PDFs?
I like a program called Sumatra, Sumatra. And been around for years. It hasn't been updated. It doesn't need it. It's just strictly a reader. And when you save those, here again, you know, just get your copy, save it up on your Google Drive or wherever, and just make sure you got it. I really like that Sumatra. Adobe was always the go-to for years and years and years, and I'd like to support Adobe as well, but I think they kind of are putting more emphasis on the actual upper programs that they have, you know, Photoshop and that kind of thing. They're going after the graphics users, doing a great job. And I think that the Adobe Reader has just kind of become kind of bloated. And Sumatra, and there's a lot of good PDF readers. There's Foxit, just a bunch of them. But I really like Sumatra because it's just simple. It just works. Just absolutely works. No problem whatsoever. And you can still save them and protect them and password protect them, that kind of thing. And that really is the way to go. I normally have a separate folder or directory underneath my docs for my PDFs only. And a lot of people don't get quite that anal, but I kind of like to keep them separate. I just think it's a good idea. And that's a great, great text, and thank the texter.
Quick break, Doug. We'll have much more in a moment. We'll get into Outlook 2021. New computer installed, Outlook 2021. Someone's got a question and a comment about that. And then what about a new phone and how do you maximize battery life? Do you have any tips on that? We'll get into that coming up on Tech Talk. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the program, you can call the studio and visit with Jonathan. Or you can text. That'll come right to me, and we'll get it on the air. 651-461-9226. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. We're well underway. Tech Talk on a Saturday here at News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. We're on the air between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting. Doug Swinhart is in, and before we go to the text line again, let's go to the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Lawrence joins us from the road. Lawrence, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, guys. Good to hear your voices, as always.
Oh, thank you.
So, Doug, I am in a situation where I'm going to get rid of my ancient iMac and get this the footprint on it, because I got lazy when I got it. It goes all the way back to a G4 configuration. That's how old it is. I know.
Okay.
I got rid of all my spinning backup hard drives. I'm totally SSD based upon your recommendation, and that's helped. But the girlfriend has about 200 gigabytes of cloud storage space, iCloud storage space. So she's willing to share, and she's already sent out an invitation. So my real question is that a hard separation that she'll have her 100 gigs and I'll have my 100 gigs, or are they blended? I haven't quite figured that out.
Yeah, it's going to be like one account. That's I don't think they'll separate the account for you, but you can create different folders inside there, and it's easy for you to get to. You just open up a browser and go to iCloud.com and log in with her credentials, and you'll have access. Now, the one thing I think you're going to struggle with is two-factor authentication. Anytime you're in there, it's going to want – anytime you want to log into that account, you're going to need to have her respond via her phone unless you set up some kind of authenticator. That could get you – that can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But once you're set up, 200 gigs, she's got plenty of space. That's awesome that she's willing to share it. But like I say, you got to work through that dual authentication, which you could actually get a couple of security keys from Amazon, anywhere from $25 to $60, depending on how much you spend. And that they work really well, as just like and you carry it on your key ring. It's a little piece of hardware that's probably as safe as you're going to ever get with logins. Just take your time. You'll get it, but that'll work for you. That'll work perfect for you. And thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
All right, very good. You're welcome to call the program on the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. And that's good for all our shows 7 days a week here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug, from our text line, I bought a new computer and installed Outlook 2021 for email. Should I uninstall the mail program, Outlook Express, that came with the computer?
I would say no. And I got to tell you, people are having some difficulty with Outlook 2021, the local version. You can go to Outlook.com and log in and have almost the same thing that's completely web-based. It's just running inside of a browser. That I think, is going to be, and you got to remember now, Microsoft is really pushing Office 365. I mean, really pushing it. They're letting people have their little local copies, but they're becoming so restrictive. In fact, I've been fighting with one for well over 3 weeks at this point. Gentleman's got an older computer, and I cannot get a newer version of Outlook to run on it. And it will no longer take his older version of Outlook that actually came with a computer, because he's like three different operating systems ahead now. It's becoming more and more restrictive, and they're pushing users to go web-based without question. So use some caution. I don't think I'd take that mail program that came from Windows at all up there. Once you take that off, it's really quite difficult to get back, even through the Microsoft Store. And I hope that helps.
All right, very good text. And we have plenty of time. If you have something for Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, 651-461-9226. We'll have an update on the weather and some breaking news coming up at the bottom of the hour about a local politician and a big announcement. We'll get into that at 3:30 today. Hey, Doug, from our text line, these new phones don't allow you to replace the battery. How can you optimize the battery for longevity? So if you get a new phone, how do you make sure that that battery is in good shape over a long period of time?
Yeah, there is just an enormous amount of information on the internet regarding this with individual brands and even models. The big thing that I see in almost all phones is if you're not using your Bluetooth, shut it off. You will extend your battery life to just an enormous amount. But I agree. I would like to see where, you know, if you buy an expensive phone, you should be able to replace the battery. You really should. I don't really see the purpose other than more proprietary and more control over when you're going to buy a new phone. The batteries are lasting longer than they did before. But I, even mine, it's like every time I get an update with my Galaxy S21s 5G, it's like every time I get an update, my battery doesn't last as long. It's kind of strange. I hate to think it was programmed, but that's the way it appears. But the big thing is, the biggest drain on your phone is that Bluetooth. And if you're shutting it off when you're not using it, set it to 5 seconds of inactivity so your screen goes out. That's the next one, is how bright you're running your screen and how long you're leaving it open. And the notifications, I normally don't have vibrate and sound, one or the other. There's no sense in duplicating it, but you should be able to get at least, I would think, 4 or 5 days of standby time on a phone. How to extend the life on the battery? Hopefully they're being built better and we won't have to replace them. But I think there's going to be some replacement necessary. And the only way to do that is to take them completely apart from the front. The glass has to come out, and that's where it gets sticky. It's not for the weak of heart. I take it right to a professional. Batteries Plus does a nice job. There's several places where you can take it to get it done. But user replaceable batteries, I think, should be an absolute demand by the public. I would love to see that.
Yeah, because it's relatively easy to do on a laptop. I mean, it is. It's not that bad on a laptop, for instance. But these phones, you know, they're small and they pack a lot of stuff in. You've brought it up before. I've got an iPhone 13 right now with the fancy camera on it. It's a great camera.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible. Some of the images I've been able to capture this during the golden hour out on the water, I'm really impressed. But when you're packing all that stuff into a small, durable case that rides around in someone's purse or pocket or coat all day, they've got to build them. They've got to build them right.
Yeah. Well, they're very delicate. By the way, Nancy's got the same phone that you does, and I agree. The photographic ability with this thing and the health thing with her smartwatch is incredible. I just amazing. Now, that said, These phones, they take specialized tools to get into them. In addition to that, almost every one of them, the screen, the actual display screen where we touch and make it move, that actually uses a glue to put it back on. No screws. They're quite difficult. You have to have an appliance that heats the front of this thing up, not too much, because then you'll melt the solder inside if it gets too hot. But it's got to be that right temperature, and then gently pry that glass off. It's not easy. It really isn't. Even the laptops that don't have the batteries exposed on the outside, the netbooks, there's like 4, 5, 6 screws. You pop off the back of it. You disconnect the battery. You put in a new one. Put the back on. Screw your Phillips screws in, and you're good to go. Hey, I would like to see that happen more with the phones, too. Flip side to that is every time they do something like that that's accessible, there's going to be a screw on the outside or something that's different or unique, but I wouldn't be a problem for me. I agree. I'd like to see user-replaceable batteries become a competitive thing between the cell phone companies. I'd like to see that happen.
Quick break coming up momentarily. One other thought on the phones, and this is a big deal, and we bring it up with all the equipment. A complete shutdown once a week. There's a tendency with phones, throw it on the charger, leave it on. And you leave it on 24/7. And it goes weeks and weeks. I try to remember at some point on the weekend, usually a Saturday night or a Sunday night, put it on the charger, but shut it down completely.
Oh, I shut mine down 2-3 times a week. I couldn't agree more. And it appears to me that the older these phones get, after a year, the more important that becomes. I just couldn't agree more. Now, Nancy's gotten the habit with her new iPhone where she shuts it down about once a week and has since the day it was new. I think it's made a difference on how well her phone is run. Yeah. It's a tremendous little piece of equipment.
Quick break. We'll talk Prevazor. We got something from the text line on that. By the way, if you want to join us, by all means, use the City's One Plumbing Talk text line, 651-461-9226. It is Tech Talk. Doug's on board until 4 o'clock today. We'll have all the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Jez Myers will join us from the Rink Live. We'll talk hockey, and then it's college football final on a Saturday here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. We've been away for a couple of weeks, and we're back. Steve Thompson, Doug Swindehart, as always. We'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. And by the way, the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line is open for you. 651-461-9226. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever. And from our text line, Doug, we're going to talk about Prevazor, a program you've been talking about for a long time. Does it clear out all internet history and login credentials if you use it?
It won't go away with your login credentials. Well, if you're saving them in your browser and you've got it set up to do so, yes, it'll clear everything. But I normally tone it down a little bit. I do want it to take away all my cookies, all the temp files, and even some of the cookies you might want to keep. It's pretty easy if you read the setup as you're setting it up. But yes, it can. It can absolutely just clear it all out. I recently have started working with Proton Mail, and they've got Proton Password Manager that is just lovely to work with. And so I normally am not, I'm probably not going to save any passwords ever again in my browsers. It works that well. It's, I'm truly impressed, truly impressed.
Yeah, and Doug, with this particular program, one of the things that is important to do in certain situation is clear the cache in the browser. And typically when you go into a browser like Google Chrome, you can kind of select what you want the browser to clean up when you do that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the same way when you set up Prevazor. Prevazor will let you go through and say, well, I want to do this. I want to do this. I don't want to get rid of all my cache that for my thumbnails, for my pictures, for example. I don't want to get rid of all my savings and my games, or might want to get rid of them. It depends on how private you want to get and how paranoid you are about the whole thing. But most of the data, I try to stay somewhere in the middle. Don't get too carried away because you'll start having trouble logging into things. And certificates today are actually having a little bit more problem than they used to. It's not quite so easy to be trustworthy on the internet anymore. So it's, it's going to get good. And that's one thing I see people fighting with VPNs as well, is there's a true balance to each individual has that breaking point of, well, this is too much security. I can't have so much security. I can't run it. And it can become very time consuming real quick.
And spell that out for everyone. How do they find that program? There's a free version. There is a pro version you can pay for. But you've talked about it for a long time. It is well worth your while.
Oh, goodness, yes. Pervasor should be on every Windows machine as far as I'm concerned. And it's PRIVAZ, Z as in zebra, ER.com. It's that simple. And it's been around long enough now to where if you happen to mistype something, Google's probably going to straighten you out. It's really the thing. It really is.
All right, Doug, here's another one from our City's One Plumbing Talk and Text line. The pop-up messages from the Windows 10 notification icon flash by so fast I can't even read them. Also, I'm not always in front of my computer. When I click on the icon to view past notifications, it only shows the most recent one. Is there a way to view the history of those?
If you get into your administrator file, and this is where Windows Pro does a much better job than Home. There's an administrative section that you can actually go in and see the events. They also are not always as clear as I'd like to see them. Yeah, this is something I've noticed in the more recent versions of Windows is the windows pop up and, well, something went wrong. What? And then they give you this code that you can't trace. And if you can trace it, sometimes that code is for five or six different issues other than the one you're working with. It's really gotten to be kind of bizarre what's happening with theirs. I would like to see, too, that operating systems, if you get an error, it really should point you in some direction as to how to correct it. If they're smart enough to know that it's an error, they should be smart enough to know what it requires to repair. Just my opinion.
Yeah, and Doug, another one that kind of came up and comes up from time to time on our text line, and people bring it up. And I've talked about it with my mom and dad, and that is taking advantage whenever you can of dual authentication, that logging in with a password, but where they kick something back to say, for instance, your phone, and they give you usually a 6-digit code that in turn you've got to put back in. And they've asked me about it. I'm kind of like, that's a good thing. You want to go that route when you can.
Oh, absolutely. Now, for somebody that's working on somebody else's computer, it can get to be a nightmare. I have to admit that.
I can imagine.
But if you got your act together, you can actually have your customer or a client, if you will, set up your phone number as the callback while you got their computer. You might end up getting some other calls that say they're going to buy something from a credit card company or something like that, where you got to be on your toes with that and know what it is and be willing to call them back. We're going to see, I think, in the very near future, a whole bunch of these little security keys being done. Now, Apple and Google also have come out with authenticators. It's a software version of a hardware security key, and they're also very effective. And that gives you the 2-point authentication without having to jump through hoops with another device. But it's always going to come back and tie it together somehow, some way, with your smartphone. I can almost guarantee that, because your smartphone is really your personal identifier. It really is. Has been for a number of years now, but as we move forward in this big security game, it's becoming more and more important that each one of us have some type of identifying number to where they know it's us. And it's pretty rare that somebody's going to have your phone and trying to rip your credit cards off at the same time. If that happens, people are just going to undo their stuff so fast it'll scare them. So it really is a much safer way to go. Here, Mom and Dad, you might want to check out the security keys. I'll send you some email links so you can have a better understanding of that. That might be the way for Mom and Dad to go.
Yeah, very good. Quick break. By the way, if you want to get in on the program, there's still time. It is Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4, and you can use the City's One plumbing talk and text line as always. 651-461-9226 is the number. Much more to come. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email if you want to reach out to him during the week. We'll do that before the end of the show. All the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Little hockey talk with Jez Myers all coming up between now and 4:30. And then college football final gets started here on a Saturday in October. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Final segment, Tech Talk today here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart in. Still time to get in. If you want to send us a text or call the program about your computer, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We talked about electronic equipment, particularly phones, and shutting them down maybe once a week. Typically, when I leave work on Friday, I shut down my work computer. When I'm done with the show on Saturdays, I'll shut the computer down, my personal computer, and maybe not even look at it on a Sunday. The point being is this stuff does need to be shut down. We typically shut off the TV when we're done with it for the night. What about something like your router modem? Whether you have CenturyLink or Xfinity or another internet service provider, should those be shut down on occasion, Doug?
Oh, I think they're just as important, if not more important. Routers, especially if you got Xfinity. Xfinity, they can leave your IP addresses exactly the same for months and months and months. And it's a good thing from time to time to just flush the entire system. And with Xfinity, it's not going to do that in minutes. You really have to actually unplug your modem or router, whatever you want to call it, and leave it unplugged for a good half an hour or more. I like leaving mine unplugged overnight. When you plug this thing in, it trains up from one end to the other with a whole fresh connection. And I try to do that at least twice a month at my house. And Sunday night, I'll just walk over, and when I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I just unplug the router, just unplug it. Leave everything else on if you got it running, if you want to, but I shut everything down then too. And just leave it off overnight, get up in the morning, before you make your coffee, plug it in, and then head for the kitchen. By the time you got your coffee even in the coffee pot, you're probably going to be up and ready to go. It's going to just clean everything. Whether people realize it or not, over the internet today, there's an awful lot of what we call dirty bits, little pieces and particles of network packets that aren't being dispersed and going through all the way. And servers are absorbing them. All of our computers are absorbing them and trying to get rid of them and crunch them away. Most of them end up as temp files on your hard drive. It's not a big issue. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's going to be around as long as we have digital data, I believe. But the big thing is when you clear out that connection, it's clean from one end to the other. I think this shutting it down is a good philosophy, and you should do it with everything that you have. That, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things where it's on, and depending on where it is in the house, you kind of forget about it really don't. But it's probably like anything else, probably a good idea to just do that reboot and the shutdown and do it at some point on the weekend. Maybe you go to bed on a Saturday night. When you get up Sunday morning, plug her back in.
Oh, no question. And even your TVs, your smart TVs, a lot of them have what's called instant on. And they're not exactly instant, but a lot quicker than it could be. Even when you shut that TV off, it's not really powered off. If you got it put on like a USB, a APC battery backup, for example, and you hit that switch, now it's off, and it's off completely. When you go to turn that on for the first time, it might take a while to come up. I think it's just as important with smart TVs and any smart appliance that you have. I think it's a good idea to take them all the way down, at least from time to time. It's just good business. It's just going to clear it right out. And in fact, if you know all your settings in your TV, I'd even recommend doing a factory reset a couple of times a year. Does nothing but give you a better picture and keep your TV nice and clean. And that's It's just good business.
Yeah, and Doug, one thing I wanted to bring up, we are rapidly going from the heat and humidity of summer to the dry cold of winter, and our old friend Static Electricity is coming back into town. It is amazing how quickly things get real dry and static, a big deal again. And you should think about that with your electronic devices. It's better than it once was, and they're better protected, but it is still a factor.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I truly wonder if we're not creating a new pollution. We won't probably recognize it in our lifetime, and maybe we will. I don't know. But even though they're getting better with the equipment, we're getting more equipment. And we're using a lot of electricity these days, as I'm sure you know. And it is. And it isn't just the dryness of the air. It's also, in Minnesota here, we have rapid weather changes. We may change temperatures 20, 30 degrees in 15, 20 hours. And barometric pressures seem to have an enormous effect on this as well. And if you've got wool carpet and you're wearing a wool sweater, and yeah, static can get to be a real issue real fast. And individually, some people actually carry more static than others. And we don't really know that. How could you know it? You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it, hopefully. But if you find that you're having a lot of freeze-ups and nobody else in the house is, just you, you might want to take some stop static or something like that, and just kind of spray it on a Kleenex and wipe your forearms and your hands down before you sit down at the computer. Might want to wipe off the keyboard, but be aware that these computers pick up more static from us as human beings than anywhere else, seriously. So if we're going to carry it around and touch something on the computer and whoop, there it goes, just once we ground ourselves that computer, God only knows where that electricity, that electrical impulse, so to speak, is going to go. But it's going to head right straight for that wall outlet because it's sucking it in, you know what I mean? It's going to get to be a science as well, keeping static to a minimum.
All right, Doug, we have got to run. We're out of time on the program, but first, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543, and of course, admin, admin, at wccotech.com, wccoteh.com, 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Doug. We'll do it again in 1 week. Take care.
You too.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinhart, Tech Talk, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.